The Word of God for the 34th week of Ordinary Time, Tuesday. From the book of Revelations, chapter 14, 14 to 19. I, John, looked, and there was a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud, one who looked like a son of man, with a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, crying out in a loud voice to the one sitting on the cloud, "Use your sickle and reap the harvest, for the time to reap has come, because the earth's harvest is fully ripe." So the one who was sitting on the cloud swung the sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, who also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel came from the altar, who was in charge of the fire, and cried out in a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Use the sharp sickle and cut the clusters from the earth's vines, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and cut the earth's vintage. He threw it into the great winepress of God's fury. The word of the Lord. Dear family, this can be understood if we see it as the end of time, the vision of the end of human history and the final judgment. It is the time for the harvest. Now, there are two things that are being harvested. One is the grain. It symbolizes the gathering in one, the just, and then there is the harvesting of the grapes, symbolizes the gathering of the unjust. Now there's one, like a son of man, who has a gold crown, and this represents the power and the victory of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord upon the cloud, upon the throne. Now, why is an angel informing Jesus to use the sickle for the harvest? This is because Jesus said in the gospel that the end of time, the time to do the harvest, doesn't belong to him. It will come from the Father. So Jesus receives everything from the Father. And the angels is simply a messenger of the Father communicating the time has come. And then Jesus immediately just swings once and harvests the whole grain in one stroke. This is to tell us that the end of time will not be a travail, a hard labor for the Lord. In one moment, everything will be done, and everyone that is just will be gathered. On the other hand, then there comes a time right after the grain has been harvested to harvest the grapes who represent the unjust. And again, he swings the sickle once, and they're all taken in. This is going, all these grapes, to the wine press of God's fury. And we see here that the angel coming from the altar is the one in charge of fire. For fire is often linked to judgment in Scripture. This imagery given to the Christians at that time and today is to keep us well focused on God, on the plan of God, and to know that everything is in His hands, that nothing is going to go out of control. We may see chaos for a time, but everything will come to an end, and we are called to hold fast, faithful to Him, until that time comes. The Gospel is Luke 21, from 5 to 11. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will be not left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, people admire the temple of Jerusalem, and Jesus did too, but their conclusions were different. Our human tendency is to pride in the things that we have achieved. The Jews were proud of the temple. And remember that Jesus honored and respected the temple more than anybody else, because it's the house of his Father. But for him, it was a way to give glory to God, who gave men this gift of being able to construct this. But most of all, it is a place to encounter with God himself, to go into union with God. And this is what God is trying to focus now. Do not just see the wonderful and marvelous architecture and the jewels. Go beyond that to God himself. And so he reminds them that all that material aspect is passing. It all will be destroyed. And we have to look forward to the mansions that Jesus is preparing for us in heaven. Now, there are two things, Jesus tells us, that may mislead us in these times of travail until all these things come to pass and the end of time. One thing to watch for is false prophets and famines. The other goes along with the first, is false teaching of these false prophets. They will be so attractive that multitudes will follow them. We have seen that happen in history repeatedly. Think about charismatic leaders like Hitler, like Stalin, and many others who swept their countries and caused terrible wars because of the blindness of the people. They seemed to offer them something they wanted. But the Lord is warning, be careful, because very easily we make persons into messiahs. And this is a danger. There's only one Messiah, Jesus Christ, and we have to be very careful. Now, the Lord is telling us there are going to be wars and earthquakes and all these things. They have been happening for the 2,000 years since Jesus died and rose from the dead. So does that mean that we just dismiss them? No. Every time we hear about wars and earthquakes and signs of nature, it is, according to the fathers of the church, and a moment to remember what Jesus said and to remember that everything is passing, that we are, like St. Paul says, citizens of heaven.